This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode of Witching Hour is brought to you by the Ready or Not Go-To Guides, created by us, Lou and Loz. Somehow it's 2025, and with that, you might be returning to paid work and starting to think about what that looks like. And that's exactly why we made the Ready or Not Go-To Guides. Tackling breastfeeding and returning to work, postpartum and return to work planning, and childcare 101, our guides are beautiful, easy to read, and filled to the brim with expert information. Take the guesswork out of returning to paid work and use the wisdom that we've learned from over 100 interviews with working mums. Get the guides now for $29 individually or $69 as a trio at readyornot.au. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show by Ready or Not that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou.
And I'm Loz, kicking things off with a good news story. I actually saw a very funny stat this week that said, I mean, it's nothing in relation to work or motherhood really, but it did say if you leave parties without saying goodbye, you can save 2 days per year. Research suggests that average goodbyes at a party take around 2 to 3 minutes per person. At a gathering with 10 to 20 people, you're looking at 20 to 60 minutes just to say bye by multiple events per year. And skipping farewells could save you up to 48 hours annually or 2 full days.
That does relate to mums because I will take anything I can get. Just quickly, I got a little bit drunk on Saturday night and people are at my house and I smoke bombed from my own house and went to bed without saying anything. I was so tired. I couldn't keep up with conversation. Hades was there and I thought, even though it was all the girlies and none of his mates, I thought, I'm sneaking off. I'm so tired.
You do it. You go, girl. You've just saved yourself probably, what, 20 minutes of, exactly. Okay, guys, time to wrap things up.
Yeah, and goodbye. I felt bad kicking them out, so I just left.
Oh, God. Love that.
Lozzie, You mentioned that Sienna hadn't been listening to you. Tell me what happened on the hearing test. I want to know all about it for anyone that thinks, like, genuinely that maybe the not listening is more than a not listening problem.
Okay, so just to preface it by saying, I booked Sienna in for a hearing test, and when I went to actually get the hearing test for Sienna, they said 80% of people that book hearing tests wanting to do it before either school starts, kinder starts, more as like a, I don't want to say tick box thing, but more as a peace of mind thing. So even if you're like, oh, my child's pretty good, if you have any concerns, couldn't recommend more highly, just to put your mind at ease. Secondly, I just think that the school holidays really got to me this time around. They were really long. And over the course of like, oh, is it 6 weeks, 8 weeks? I just don't even know how long it was, a frigging long time. Sienna would ask me multiple times, what did you say? What? I can't hear you. Can you turn the TV up? I can't hear it. And I was like, okay. She's actually asked so many times now that I'm getting to the point of frustration. I'm just going to book in a hearing test. Went to the hearing test. It took 3 minutes. It was so quick. They were so great with kids. There are no problems.
So the problems are in the house, not in the ears.
Problems seems to be.
Do you sit down with Sienna and get the prognosis and you go, now, your hearing is great. So what the fuck are we going to do about communication, sweetie?
Start listening.
I know you're only four, but we need to have a talk.
Yeah. And I said to my husband, Rye, I was like, okay, so there's nothing wrong. He's like, all right, so we just spent $165 for nothing. I'm like, no, not for nothing. The sanity, for me knowing that I wasn't going insane, because I genuinely thought to myself, does she have a hearing problem? At least now I can confidently say, no, it's not a specific issue. There's nothing wrong with her ears or her hearing. It's just selective.
Yeah, it's very selective. Wants the TV up, wants the mummy down. Yes. Imagine if our kids had volume buttons for us. I'd be on mute time. Yeah. Just like, go back to the kitchen, my mummy. I want you to cook for me, but I don't want you to talk.
exactly right. And I also want to just follow up on last episode where I complained about Pilates, because so many people have kindly suggested alternative studios, of which I have already tried 3 of your recommendations and I'm trying another 2 this week.
You are so efficient. You are nuts. How have you already gone to 3?
Because I couldn't help myself. I feel like when people recommend something, and also people should know this about me, I jump on stuff immediately. Like, I don't have any rationale when it comes to trying stuff. If someone gives me a recommendation, I'm like, I'll try it. That's all I need. Just a quick little, you should do
so
this.
So if someone says, I went to the best sex club on the weekend, you're like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to the sex club.
Better give it a crack.
Pregnant with my 3rd, what could possibly go wrong?
Oh, my God. Maybe not that far, but thank you for all your recommendations. Some have been excellent. I have a front runner at the moment, but I'm going to try another 2. And then I feel like 5 is enough for me. There was lots though. So big thanks.
So many. What do you think was I feel like Universal Practice was one of the most mentioned. What else was most mentioned? Do you remember? Bump in Malvern, I think, was mentioned.
Yeah, Bump in Malvern was mentioned. I did try their Be Active was also mentioned. I've also tried their Core Plus was another one.
Yeah.
Which I tried the other day, which was really good. And then another one called Bumps. There's been heaps. Like, there's so many. Yeah, and Peaches, I think, was another one.
Peaches, yes, that was another
yes.
one.
Yes. So there's quite a few. I sadly won't be able to do all of them because I feel
What do you
like,
mean? You've got so much time on your hands with your 1 day a week Ready or Not job, your 2 children and your pregnancy. Why aren't you fitting that in?
I don't know. Like, I would actually love to trial them all just so that I can offer other people advice and be like, this one was no good, this one was great, go to this instructor, whatever. But I have tried quite a lot, so I've got 2 more to go and then I'll make my final decision.
Maybe come back to us. We won't rank them because I'm sure they're all great businesses, but just come back to us with what personally for you ends up being the one, okay?
Okay.
Next time.
That I will.
So today, what are we talking about? When will we stop judging the mums? I've seen a bit of discourse on my Instagram this week about DMs coming in to mums very unsolicited. They might be mentioning that things have been a little bit hard lately. They might be mentioning that they're wanting to rip out their eyeballs a bit. Most of it is said in jest, a bit of a laugh, a bit of fun. We all love our kids, but every now and then it's hard. Let the mums speak what I say. Why can't we stop judging them? I will give you a few stories. And then I'll ask you why you still think that we do this so much and what can we do about it. And then secondly, you're bringing to me the hidden bias in job applications, why women are being turned off by the questions we don't ask men. Take it away, my friend.
Oh, you're taking it away. I know that we often do this. We often do this. But in fact, today,
I'm taking it away. I hate it when I do this. Take it away. I am friends with myself. So take it away, my friend. Kalani from Little Label, a children's and women's wear brand, recently posted a reel. In it, she shows the utter chaos that is being a working mum during the school holidays and makes some jokes about wanting to get a one-way ticket to Fiji. I would like one also. And wanting to rip out her eyeballs. It's linked in the show notes, so go there for further context. But it's just meant for a bit of fun. Someone came into her DMs with some unsolicited advice saying that she should be a bit more grateful. And while some of the people that did come into her DMs were able to have robust conversations and offer reasons why they think she shouldn't share it, some people were just downright mean. Another example came up in my social media stories very shortly after this from Bridget Gale. She's been interviewed on Ready or Not before, and her first Instagram story was a selfie of her child cuddling her, saying that her daughter sort of didn't want a bar of her. She'd picked her up from daycare or wherever, and her daughter didn't really want much from her. She had in her DM someone responding saying, I hope you can repair your relationship with your daughter. That would never happen with me and my daughter. Bridget and I went on to have a conversation about this, saying as if that person has never had their child speak badly to them or not want a bar of them, and that it's all just part and parcel. The next day she was absolutely loving her mum sick. As we know, light and shade and motherhood in all these situations. Third example happened, I reckon, about a year ago, Lozzie, when I told you, you sent me a video of Sienna just having one of those windy days, the way kids always do.
Yeah.
And you sent me a video of you walking down the street being like, oh, look, I'm looking forward to getting in the office today. For anyone that knows you, you absolutely love being a mum. You'll always talk about the positivity, but on that day, you needed a break. When I told you to whack that on the Ready or Not story, someone replied, poor child, I'm unfollowing. And we Well, you mostly had a laugh about it. I was upset because I take everything to heart. And this happens all the time. These are not three isolated incidents, but it did spark something inside of me. And my question for you is, why do we still judge mums so much, and how do we stop doing it?
Well, I don't know the answer to either. I mean, we all do it. And anybody that says they don't would be lying. I think we're all trying to do our best at doing it less. Obviously, judgment creates conversation. When you are judging someone, when you have a strong opinion on something, when something bothers you, speaking about it, whether it's in a positive or a negative light, creates connection, because there'll be people that agree with you and people that don't. And more importantly, it creates conversation. It gives you something to talk about. Where I think society is really polarizing is genuinely about topics like parenting or mums and what we should and shouldn't be doing, because traditionally there was this view that everybody is still trying to break, or a stigma that like being a mum means you're like really nurturing and warm and always available to your children. And that's kind of a concept that I think has become more, I don't say prevalent, but more
stickier maybe, because there's more options, but like society hasn't caught up yet. Like, is it a sticky period, do you think?
Yeah, it's really odd. Like back in the day,
sad,
this is so bad. It's really sad. Back in the day, like I remember my parents when I was younger, I used to go out for dinner with them and they would genuinely just ignore me, and I would sit under the table like looking at chewing gum on the table, sometimes eating it when I was like four, and just like colouring in under the table. And that was acceptable. No one ever said to them, oh my gosh, that is so disgraceful. Like, how could you take your children out and not engage with them? Blah, 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 blah. I had fun. They had fun. If I was to do that today, the amount of looks that I would get, I'm not putting my child in an unsafe environment under a table. They're safe. Okay, maybe they're eating some stale old chewy, but they're not going to die.
Oh, they've done that before probably as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But the amount of looks that I would get would be out of control. And I don't know if it's social media or like what it is, but it's like there's this heightened sense of judgment towards everything, not just that, but everything.
It's almost like the blessing and the curse of more choice, because we are in this sticky period where we're getting more choice, but we're like in a transition period. I feel like women and mums had less choice back in the day for the vast majority. Do you think almost that there's so much choice means our decisions feel so loaded because we're always trying to get it right, but we don't actually know what is right?
Everything's right and everything's wrong.
Yes, that is so true.
And for all these people that say things like, oh, you know, my child would never do that, maybe they wouldn't. But what I will say is that at some point in your life, you are going to face a situation with your child where they disagree with what you are doing, unless you run a militant operation at home, of which there's all sorts of problems with, right?
Yeah. Like that's
society would be like,
your child never backlashes against you.
Exactly. So there's like two different views on the same behavior.
Yeah.
Where I think I find it honestly bizarre is the courage of people to leave negative comments so publicly and openly. I would never
imagine
do that.
DMing a mum that you didn't agree with, Lossie. Like, unless she's
I would just never
about like leaving a gun in her child's bedroom, which even still I wouldn't respond. But, you know, unless it was a very obvious black and white version of like, you know, negligence, I'm not going there. And even then, I'm still probably not going there.
I find it unbelievable that people feel so empowered and so politically correct that their opinion is
the
valid
right one.
And they really stick by it. Like if someone's posting a reel of their day and what their life looks like and, you know, navigating the complexities of it, having a tantrum, whatever, let them be. If you don't like the content, don't comment.
Yeah,
unfollow.
Just go to the next.
Go away.
I have something else that semi-relates to this, and this is that Mamma Mia put up a piece that I saw that the title was along the lines of, if this feels like the longest school holidays you've ever had, it is because they have been the longest. Like maybe it was a few days longer than last year or whatever.
It has felt
compared
long.
To, you know, in relation to how the days of the week are full, and maybe it's like, you know, 2 days longer, whatever. Anyway, I didn't really read the article, but I was interested in the comments because there were a lot. And I noticed something bad within myself. So a lot of the people wrote back very peacefully, just saying they actually haven't felt long to me. I am dreading them ending. And that's lovely. That's like a nice opinion, no backlash tied to it. Then there was, of course, the people that are like, reality check, if you have kids, you're going to have to parent them. Like, don't hate spending time with your child, or don't even bother having children if that's what you're going to do, which is it absolutely not about. But I find myself, even though I haven't entered school holidays yet, I feel like by the end of school holidays, I will be one of those mums that's like, whoa, love you so much, had the best time with you, but I also need you back in school now. Why did I get triggered by even the peaceful versions of people saying, oh, no, I've really enjoyed this? Like the ones, they weren't being nasty, they weren't being judgmental, they were just saying, oh, no, I've loved this period. Why does even that trigger me? Because I think it comes back to potentially me thinking that's what makes a perfect mum as opposed to wanting your kids to go back to school. What do you think?
Spot on. No, I think you've nailed it. That's exactly right. Innately, you're going to feel like some form of guilt in some way. And it could be like, I catch myself sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, Sienna's just driving me mad today. You know, like yesterday I had a really long day with the kids. Like, yeah, it's one day. I get it. And it was a really nice morning. But then in the afternoon, Zay found a tomato sauce bottle. He literally, I don't even know how it happened. He squeezed the entire bottle.
We're going to have to put it on the stories. Like, there was sauce everywhere.
Yeah, there was sauce everywhere. And all I could think to myself is I took my eyes off you for 2 minutes to unload the laundry and hang it on the line. And now I have to clean this crap
The next 10 minutes.
It's so frustrating. It's covered in sauce. I'm like, don't touch anything. And in that split moment, I was like, oh, this is so frustrating. And I did catch myself and I spoke to a girlfriend. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just so peeved. Like, I've fucking got tomato sauce everywhere. She's like, yeah, kids are just hard, man. I'm like, yes. Yeah. And in that moment, that's what I need somebody to say to me. Kids can be really hard. It's not that I don't love being a mum, but if that friend had turned around to me and been like, Loz, you should be grateful. You've got amazing kids. Mate, I know. I am every day. That's a given. I just need to vent, and everybody's entitled to do that, whether it's about your kids, your work, your body sometimes, your, I don't know, the chair that you're sitting in, whatever it might be. We are humans. We have fluctuations in mood and temperament.
In needs.
Like, come on, let's just give each other a little bit of grace and stop the negative comments when people do say something that maybe isn't picture perfect. Like,
I think that is a beautiful way to end this segment, is that kids can be hard and you are okay if you don't love every single moment. So if you crawled to the end of the finish line of those school holidays, you did bloody good, Mum. Well done.
The hidden bias in job applications, why women are being turned off by the questions we don't ask men. A recent news story made headlines when a female applicant of the Defence Force was asked about her menstrual cycle as part of the recruitment process. I can see your face. Yes. While this is extreme, it raises a larger issue. So the subtle and not so subtle ways the application process still isn't designed with women in mind. Now, I want to say, yes, this is an extreme situation. And of course, I'm very aware that there are some professions that do need like a medical document or medical records when you apply. I am slightly confused by the menstrual cycle thing.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. I'll just quickly almost go against my initial reaction. Part of me wonders, is it like we want the workforce to understand more what happens with menstrual cycles and menopause and all of those things? Is there any way in which this is a positive? I don't know.
Unless they're doing training based on the phase that you're in of your menstrual
like
cycle.
Like, are they sitting you in a classroom while you're training during your period, but then when you're lutealing, you are out there running? Like, if it's something like that, maybe you can get around it, but you're going to tell me more.
It's definitely odd. And I will say, in this particular instance, this person was applying for a photography job. Like, how is this relevant to taking photos? I don't really understand. But it has raised the question.
So a photography job in the Defence Force, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's odd.
I'm thinking frontlining, like you are out there fighting.
Yeah. And in her defence, the Defence Force had said, it's just a stock standard template. Yeah, get it, mate. We're in 2025 now.
Yeah.
Like, tailor the application process. Yeah. If that's for specific people, have that question, like, in specific job ads or in specific job descriptions. But you don't need to be having that for everyone. Like, come on. This isn't the 1980s anymore. You have the ability. Yeah, to adopt your PD or your recruitment process, not adopt, to adapt your application requirements to the candidate. Like, that's just rubbish. But it had me thinking more about the bias in recruitment. So Invasive questions aren't the only issue. Let's talk about the subtle gender biases that women face during the recruitment process. For example, assumptions about their availability due to children or maternity leave, etc. A study by McKinsey and Company found that women are 1.2 times more likely to be judged on their personal attributes during interviews, while men are more likely to be judged on their professional experience.
Interesting
one. So the impact of poorly designed applications on female candidates. How a lack of flexibility in job applications, especially in terms of hours, remote work, and interview times, often leads to women to opt out of applying. So unless the job says like flexi or, you know, in your case, how you're looking specifically for part-time,
yes,
many people won't even apply. I know that we've talked about it saying you can negotiate at the end, but so many women are like, nah, that's just an absolute no-go, which means we're not getting the right people in the right jobs. And according to research by Catalyst, women are more likely than men to quit the hiring process early if they feel that the company's culture isn't family friendly or inclusive. I would add a third one there. Often what happens is there is that unseen. And the other thing that I would say is that we know that in the recruitment process, women are far less likely to negotiate salary if a band isn't given. So we're already doing a disservice to ourselves. And so is the recruitment process. What could we do to make this better? This is just a list that I've put together, my own mind.
I love your lists.
Of ways that we could make the job application process more inclusive and supportive, primarily of female applicants. Maternity leave transparency. I don't know about you, Lou, but after I had Sienna and I was considering another job, I found it really, really difficult to access companies' maternity leave policies. So, which at the time, if I'm honest, was a really, really big factor for me. I wanted job security. I also wanted to make sure that if I did get pregnant within the next 2 years, they had a policy that would support my return to work and also pay me while I was on parental leave. And I found that very, very few organizations have this openly available.
Yeah, it almost should be public knowledge. Like it should be on a public sort of record.
Well, I find it strange too, because for those organisations that do have a parental leave policy, even if it's 6 weeks, 2 weeks, yeah, 3 weeks, whatever it might be, is it not something that you want to promote?
Yeah. I feel like they do offer it in job ads, but you're not across the board, you're saying it?
No, but well, they normally say, unless it's a large organisation that has like 16 weeks, so they're top of the range, if they're a smaller organisation that offer less than 16 weeks, maybe they offer four.
Yes, but they won't mention the actual duration. They'll just mention that they have something. You're totally right. I've seen that heaps.
Yes, and four is better than nothing. It also depends on your financial situation, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes I was kind of thinking to myself, okay, I don't need 16 weeks. Like, yeah, that would be great, but I probably don't want to work for the likes of, you know, that large organization. But I would really like something so that I've got some form of income that I could take at half pay for an extended period of weeks. So if companies that I was interested in at the time advertised, we've got 4 weeks of paid parental leave with the likelihood to review this and increase it, right? Yeah. I mean, they're not promising anything, but they're suggesting that it's front of mind for that organisation. I would have probably applied for it.
Yeah, more visibility. Just give
us more
visibility.
But when you're doing so much digging, also you're not going to ask a question like that in an interview process or even if you're the preferred applicant, hey, what's your maternity leave policy?
You wouldn't because you're a confident person. So even you don't do it. Yeah, because you never know. That's the scary thing. It's like we want to say in 2025 that you should be able to, but you never know what sort of hiring manager that person is and what they're thinking deep down. It's so unfair, but it's another form of the unconscious bias that females face often.
Yeah, and the flexibility in hours and location. I mean, we've harped on about this a frigging million times, but as we know, many women are still balancing caregiving responsibilities and flexible hours or remote work options can be a game changer for encouraging those people to apply for a role. When companies aren't advertising it or aren't even suggesting that the work can be done for the right applicant remotely or on a part-time basis, they're excluding half the candidate pool, in my
opinion. Totally. Like I'm not even applying for jobs that say they're on site 5 days a week because I'm like, there are too many things that I need to negotiate. I want to try and get a 3 day a week role and it has to be a hybrid model. So that immediately just makes me go, there's literally too much to negotiate here. There's no way they're going to give me the job.
Why
so I don't even apply.
Why would you put in there open to negotiation for the right candidate?
Yes, it's easy. All you're doing then is getting a bigger talent,
a bigger pool
which to draw from.
Yeah. The other thing I've seen time and time again that I think is really prohibiting women from applying for roles is progression paths or learning and development opportunities. I mean, women often feel that career progression can be slower or less transparent due to maternity leave or family commitments. If the employer clearly outlined potential career paths and the company's approach to career progression for all employees, so I'm not just saying women, including those who may take time off maternity leave or family care, this would make life so much easier. Like
so much easier.
So many organizations.
If you can
like
see a path
ones,
of how you grow.
Yeah.
Game changer.
So many people have a stipend at their company that if they actually promote it, you'd be like, oh, how good. I can access like a stipend of $1,000 a year as a benefit to put towards career progression within the company. Or maybe they say, you know, we do an intensive training program at the 18-month mark to really help you develop and grow into other areas of the business that may be of interest. Hello.
It's so great for camaraderie, those things too. Like I remember we had a day with two Channel 9 journalists doing reporting to camera training at Cricket Australia. And it was so beneficial and it still stands out as like one of my best learning days. So it's not even just about what it does for you career-wise. It's really good for like getting a group together and having a bit of camaraderie outside of just drinking together. Like it's a whole another experience that you can bring to your team and it makes you feel like you're growing within your team. It makes you feel welcome there and like they want you to stay there and therefore you want to stay there.
Yeah. And my other big thing, which I know I harp on about 24/7, is that return to work piece. If you are a large organization with a female workforce, even if it's 20% of your workforce, anyone, and you're wanting to grow that target of the number of females, I find it so fascinating to look at videos about women who have returned to work at that organization or a positive testimonial. I am a marketing director. I have three young children. This workplace was so supportive on my return to work. It's enabled me to enhance my career in the following areas. Like, imagine how powerful that would be.
Yeah. You love a bit of a video testimonial, don't you?
I mean, website. I do, but I also think.
No, but I see what you're saying. It brings human to the workplace too. Like, we're all humans. Let's share the stories.
Yep, absolutely. And so many women in the workplace are mums. And yet the stories that we tell usually are of like cadets, like people just starting out in their careers.
Yeah, I don't
care about
that
a graduate program.
I'm
like, dude, I'm looking for a job with two children, as in that ain't going to suit me. I love that you're offering all this development when you're 18, but what about when you're returning or switching careers? What are you offering then?
It's an interesting one too, because if you're a dad in a mum-dad relationship or even a dad-dad relationship, if you're the secondary caregiver, and you are someone that wants to be more present at home and wants to share more of the load, you're also going to get better dads applying for jobs too, because they're going to see how family friendly you are and that you've got this drive to acknowledge that families exist and that you need to cater for that. So it's actually probably going to increase your talent pool for both male and female.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree more. The whole process needs to be overhauled. We need to be not asking women about their bodies in the interview process. That's just an absolute given. And if there are benefits for women, even if they're small, even if you think, oh, I don't know if this will get me over the line, likelihood is at the moment, from what I've seen, very few companies are producing external campaigns that really encourage women to apply. So by doing a small change, by instead of having a graduate speak about how great the graduate program is, perhaps you could have a mum that talks about how supportive the environment was when they returned to work. That would be so much more of a flex, particularly at a senior level. Like you're wanting senior women in leadership positions. How are we targeting women age 30 plus?
Yeah. You're exactly right. I would love to know in our DMs or email us at hello@readyornot.au. What has stood out to anyone as a mum applying for a job? If you have a good story about something that stood out to you that made you think that you would be really welcome in that workplace, we would love to hear. We need to speak to the mums. That's the way to get them into environments that are inclusive. I love this, Lozzie. I think that wraps us up. We're quite quick today. Good for us.
Short and sweet, my friend. It has been a busy week, so this is a good thing.
I actually am very happy with short and sweet because I just came off from a recording with Beyond the Bump. So I'm going to be on Beyond the Bump soon, which is very exciting.
Oh, yes, of course.
She's a longtime friend of mine. We went to primary school together, literally started prep together. So I've known her for a long time now and it was really fun chatting to them. We chatted for ages because we had a few technical glitches, but we were recording for an hour and 45 minutes. So you and I going short today is good because I think everyone could use less of my voice.
As if. If you have loved listening to today's episode, please leave us a positive review or just any review and follow us on radionot.pod. See you next week.